Debbie Travis, thanks for joining me.
Hello, hello, hello.
And congratulations on your latest success. I understand you're the First Lady of Canada?
Number one bestseller this week. Yes, I'm very pleased. So it's a new book, and I don't talk about all the failures, which there are numerous. But it was a fantastic book to write.
But in this book,
a few years.
It's actually different skills and observations you share.
So it's really about designing your next chapter, which is, I found that whenever I do, a write about or film something that I'm doing, it's kind of more authentic. So I had or still have this new chapter, which has been to build and restore a kind of 12th century villa in Tuscany. It's taken me 5 years, and open it up as retreats, mostly for women. We do some with couples, but it's mostly where women can come and talk about what they want to do next and drink copious amounts of wine and just have see Tuscany through kind of the back roads, through our eyes. And it was a dream always to buy a house there, but even like a little cottage or something. And then of course it just grew and grew, and I tried it out in a rental house 9 years ago, and opened it up, and suddenly I was full, and it was fantastic. So we bought our own place, restored it, and then we opened this in 2015, and we run about 10 retreats a year.
Amazing.
So the book came out of that, because I meet spectacular women from all over the world, all ages, all backgrounds, all kind of walks of life. And everybody's got a story, but the thread is kind of always the same, is kind of they get to the stage, what about me? It's time, what do I want to do? Or people who've maybe done the same job for 20 years who find themselves really at the pinnacle of their career where they find there's not a lot left to learn, and they're ready for a new challenge, and often something completely different with different goals. So, your goals in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s can be different from your 50s or 60s. And so it's kind of addressing everything from really to everybody like the millennials, right through to empty nesters, right through to people taking early retirement who find themselves bored or like me, hate the word retirement, and just want to do something very different.
What I find so interesting is in the book is that along with the great stories you tell, it's a workbook.
It is a workbook. I think people are very nervous about, scribbling in a book. I even feel guilty when I bend a page over, which I don't know where that ever came from, but maybe library books, because usually in the old days we always got library books. But so I wrote at the beginning saying, please, use this book to scribble in. We've got lots of quizzes you can mark and where you are at the stage in your life, notes that you want to make. So it is a workbook, and it's also the thread of what happened to me, starting a completely new chapter, and everything I went through, like changing your mindset, how you think differently, how you have to really react differently to what I was doing before.
Tell me a little about that. How did that change?
Sorry?
Tell me a little about that. How did that change? How did your thinking change? What did you realize?
Well, first of all, it's a different pace. So, I remember, buying a piece of chicken in the market and it taking 25 minutes because the old lady in front of me is chatting to the chicken guy about last week's chicken and her grandchildren and this, and you're like all impatient. And then you realize, no, you're wrong. You must change your pace. You must think differently. You're in a different country, a different culture. And also, I went from the glamour of being on television, constantly for 20 odd years, to suddenly you're in muddy boots on the edge of a hillside. And Tuscany in the summer is beautiful, but it's not always so beautiful in January and February. And I didn't speak the language, so I had to adapt to that. And just really, I'm taking toilet rolls to people's rooms now. Whereas, a few years ago I had like three assistants.
Room service, yes, exactly.
So it is very different. But also what happened was I became attracted to other stories of other people who'd started next chapters all over the world. So some I knew, some I heard on TED Talks, some were in newspapers or on the radio, and I contacted them. And I literally got the tools, how did they do it? What was the financing? you know, did they need financing? What was the commitment? What drove them to make this change? And it was remarkable. Everything from people who maybe got sick, they might have got, say, breast cancer, and then they said, if I get better, I'm going to change my life.
They got the wake-up call.
Yeah, or people who had this terrible empty nest syndrome, you know, now it's time for me to do something. Or millennials who are, you know, sometimes on their first chapter, but they're really going a different route than my generation. So I was attracted to all these stories, and I interviewed over 300 people.
Wow.
They didn't all make it in the book, but...
Tell me about the Soup Sisters.
The Soup Sisters, well, that was a woman called Sharon Hampton, who came to one of our retreats, and she found it very, very hard when her final child left home. Sadly, I didn't. I changed the locks. She really found it tough, and a lot of women I interviewed really found that time in life when the last child goes off to university or work or whatever and leaves home, they find it really hard. So she found that what she loved, and she really discovered this by walking, by being alone and thinking, getting rid of the noise in her head. And she said, the one thing I loved was cooking for people, whether it was family or neighbors. And she said, the one thing I did well was soup. So she actually started a really successful charity that's now worldwide, where women get together and they all kind of chip in not a lot of money, like $15 or something, and they make soup together, and it goes to shelters for, you know, women, abused women and things. And now she started the Broth Brothers, which I love, and that's men doing it together. So they shop, they cook, they make these soups, and then they give them out, and whatever money they raise goes to the charity, or the soup goes to the charity. So sometimes they're charitable things, sometimes they're just people's next chapters. But they're always different. That's the point of the next chapter. It's like, you know, I've worked for the bank for 20 years. I want to sing. Or, you know, I've always wanted to own a coffee shop. And because your financial demands are often different. So what you need when you're kind of raising a family is very different from when you get to a certain age. You may be doing this for yourself. So it's just, you know, and I've always believed the money will come in the end. Just try and find that path that makes you happy, that makes you sing, and brings vitality back.
You included your Ten Commandments, and I imagine they're honed from experience.
Well, you know, I start the book off by saying I've absolutely no right to, you know, to pen a inspirational book. You know, I have no qualifications. I'm not a psychiatrist, a psychologist. You know, I mean, who am I? But I have kind of walked the walk. You know, I left home at 16, and I've kind of been on my own working and struggling ever since. And, you know, people just talk about sometimes your successes, but there's loads of things that don't work out. And it's been quite a journey. And so over the kind of the years, I put together these Ten Commandments because I do a lot of public speaking, especially to women in business. And I really had to kind of dig deep with these commandments when I started this venture in Italy, because it wasn't easy. And it was also, like I said, the mindset has to be different, because it was quite hard to kind of make that leap across the Atlantic from two different, you know, the kind of the success of the television world into
the earth,
a farm in Italy, you know. It was very different. New friends, new cultures, new everything.
New rules and regulations.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was a challenge. And so everybody, I'm not saying everybody's going to go and buy a place in Italy, but you want to go from the corporate world to starting your own band, and you're 50 years old. And I have people. I have a surgeon who was in Montreal at McGill, and she became a singer. And that she decided, you know, I've given my 30 years to the medical profession, loved it. Doesn't mean you didn't enjoy it. Doesn't mean you regret anything. But now is the time to do what I've always wanted to do, that thing that's always been in what if. And she's become a singer, and it's incredible. And it's a different thing. It's a different, the finances are different. It's just a different world. And so I tried to put these Ten Commandments together that would really help people, because there's no point, you know, struggling through an inspirational book if the tools aren't there to help you. And that's what was really the most important thing for me, is to give people the know-how, how to do it. So you've got that dream. You've said many times, what if one day I could, you know, start my own yoga studio? What if one day I could go to a, you know, beautiful island in the sun and open a bar, you know, on the beach? You know, what if I started my own store? Or, you know, all these what ifs that we think about all the time, but then we just push aside. And sometimes it's not the right time. You got four children, you know, under the age of five, maybe, you know, it's
you're not, going
not the
anywhere.
Right time to, you know, to pack in your job and go and be a baker. But there's always, the time always comes. And you might just have to put those dreams on hold for a little bit. And maybe the dreams will change over the years. But it's trying to ignite people. And it's been amazing because I've been doing events for the last kind of 6 weeks. And people are sitting in the audience crying. And then, you know, and then saying, I'm packing in my job because of you. I'm like, no, 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 that's not what I mean. But it's been wonderful to listen to people's dreams, and everybody's got them.
Well, you've got some great responses here to the book. Jan Arden.
Yeah.
And Frances Mays, Under the Tuscan Sun, the woman who brought it to us all to begin with.
Well, Frances was, she's a part of the book because it was because of her that I made this move. I read that book 20-odd years ago. And it resonated with me. What if one day I bought a pile of stone, you know, on a Tuscan hillside, that beautiful romance, and then, of course, sobbed my way through the movie many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that dream, and I couldn't afford to do what she did, and da-da-da-da. And eventually, I did follow in her footsteps, but I didn't know anybody. And so my husband had to be back in our, you know, in Canada at our production company a lot of the time. And I, when you move to a new country, it's like, where'd you get your hair cut? Not just where'd you buy, you know, tile for the bathroom. You know, where'd you, what dentist do you use? And so I rang her up. And I try and get this across in the book. Just ask. You'd be blown away, because people are terrified of asking. And you'd be blown away how many times somebody says no. It's very rare that somebody will say, no, I'm not going to help you. So I rang Frances up, and she said, well, would you like to come over? And I was like, yes, please. And we've been friends ever since, and that was 10 years ago. And in fact, she emailed me this morning. And she's a wonderful woman, and she had written that book alongside many other books, but that was the big claim to fame. And so many people were inspired by that and had a dream. And I actually, like quite a few people I've met there, have followed on it. But she became a friend, a really good friend.
Well, Debbie, it's great to hear from you again. And thank you for writing the book. And I guess it's going to add a lot more resonance now when we watch Under the Tuscan Sun.
Yeah. Well, also, I think people's dreams, when people think, I can't, you know, I can't do that. Who am I to, you know, follow my dreams? And I'm trying to answer that question. Yes, you can, because I'm a huge supporter of women helping each other, telling each other that they're amazing, telling each other, yes, you can do this, and, you know, helping each other. And I hope that comes across in the book as much as possible.
Well, it's a great start to 2019. Thanks so much for telling me about it.
Thank you so much. Chat soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.